About a month and a half ago, Jonathan started a series going into the fruit of the Spirit and walking through each of these week by week, kind of teaching us what the fruit means, how we replicate that in our lives, looking at Christ and abiding in Christ. And so this week, we're speaking on patience and in relations to patience, the patience of God, and how we can make that known in our lives, in our spiritual lives, in our everyday lives. So walking through this, walking through the fruit of the Spirit, the word patience is actually macrothumia in the Greek, and it means to take a great deal of punishment from people or circumstances without bearing one's temper, or without losing one's temper, without becoming irritated or angry, and without taking vengeance. This word also means to bear pain or trials without complaint and not to lose one's self-control and act rashly. So when we look at patience, there are many things that we can be patient for. We can be patient with our spouse. We can be patient in a season of life that God has us in. We can be patient with our employees. We can be patient with God. So today, we're going to take the route of looking at God's patience and looking at the route of having patience, what I like to call having patience with God. And I think that if we have patience with God, and when we're right with the Father, when His Spirit indwells us, and when we live out of that place, then our patience with everything else has to be right. So I think the patience with our spouses and with our friends and coworkers and everything else stems from our patience with the Father. And when we have that peace right, then all other things follow. So what we're going to look at today is having patience with God. And the way we have patience with God is looking at God, the Father, and looking at the Son, Christ, in His earthly life. And look, taking examples from the Bible and from stories about how God has patience with us, with the Israelites, with all His prophets, with all the people of old, and even with us today. And also looking at Christ, having patience with His disciples, with the people He ministered to, and even still today, how Christ has patience with us. So we'll be jumping verse to verse. There's lots of verses that speak on patience, but it's kind of one of those things where I didn't find a real clear-cut verse of like, this is it. There's lots of them that come together that piece this virtue of patience. And so we're going to look at lots of different verses. And one thing that I noticed as I was doing my study and reading is that patience is one of those things that we often try to keep swept under the rug. In the American dream, American mindset is to just do more, be more, go for it. We don't want to wait for anything. And not a whole lot of pastors preach on patience. They want to combine kind of patience and peace and patience and love and all these things. But we just want to look at what does the patience of God look like? And so in that, we'll jump from verse to verse, and it's patience isn't one of those things that we have just a little bit of. Lots of people talk about patience in terms of, well, I'm losing my patience, or I'm running out of patience. But what we want to notice is that the patience of the Father is endless, and it abounds, and so should ours. In our daily lives with the people, in our daily lives with Christ, our patience should just overflow. There should be no limit to our patience. And so how do we reach that point? This patience is very personal to me, and I feel like it's the virtue that I've walked through most in life. And it's definitely the virtue that I've been battling for the last 4 years. And God has just continually shown me His faithfulness time after time after time. And many times I fail. Many times I try to just go for whatever I think is best. I try to be more. I try to do more, thinking that if I just strive, that somehow God is going to see me and bring forth those desires. And what I've realized is that the patience stems only from abiding in Christ. It stems only from knowing who I am in Christ, aligning with the Holy Spirit to dwell in me, and then acting out of a place of just abiding in the Father And patience for me has been a thing that stems straight from contentment. The more that I become incontent and the more that I become frustrated and just want to do more, it seems the more that God's just pouring on the lessons about patience. And so I'll share a few stories today about God's revealing of his patience with me, in my life, with my family, and different things to try to just connect God's heart to yours. And we do that by testimony, the word of testimony. And so I'll be sharing a few testimonies of my own that God's been walking me through the past 4 years. And growing up, I was not a patient kid. I was not a patient person whatsoever. And I've never seen God's patience more clearly in anyone's life than my mom's. I was a terror of a kid. I had no patience. I had the worst attitude. I would say things that I knew hurt, but my mom would just gracefully be there and love me no matter what. And so I think God walking me through this last 4 years as I've grown up and moved out and walked through my own life, God's just been continually showing me how instrumental my mom was in my own salvation and just how important she was, and trying to take that on in my own life and learn from that. My mom said last week as she was leaving, town, she says, she looks at Shay and I and she says, "Man, Wesley, if he's only half the kid you were, you have payback." Because I was such a terrible kid. I was angry a lot, frustrated. And so my mom kind of joked, and she doesn't really mean it, but if Micah's half the kid I am, we will probably have our own payback. So the first picture that God gave me, this kind of cool picture, as I was preparing for this Sunday, I've been preparing for about a month now, and the week before Father's Day, I had been, the whole pregnancy that Shay had was just great, and I wasn't anxious, nervous, you know, I wasn't fearing anything, and the week before was the week of Father's Day, and I became kind of a little anxious about, you know, Micah coming and wanting that process to speed up, you know, trying to make things happen. And God just gave me this real clear picture as I was just sitting with him one day. And it's the picture of God the Father just woving us in the womb and woving my son and each of us, and just him knowing us deeply and he knowing our DNA and how many hairs we have on our head and just sewing those things together, and I'm behind God, and God's just laughing. And the picture that God gave me was just that he said, "Great things take time." He said, "This takes time to work out. This takes time to make. But," he said, "I promise you that this is good. That all this I've created, it's meant for your good." And as I was kind of being anxious and all that, it just really settled my spirits. And it really just calmed me and took me to a place of like knowing that, man, God is sovereign and God is good and God is gracious, God is loving, and that I don't have to worry about what my son looks like or when he's going to come, but I just rest in knowing that whatever it happens, whenever he comes, I know that it's going to be the greatest thing on earth. And as that time wore away, it was kind of an anxiety about, you know, my first Father's Day, I'm a father, but I'm not a father because he hasn't yet come, and just battling with that and the almost not yet scenario. And Father's Day comes, and Micah is born on Father's Day. What a great gift. But he was also born at 12:22, and 12:22 was my birthday, December 22nd. So it was just God's faithfulness in that. Like, he knew my desire to have a kid on Father's Day. And not only that, he knew my birthday, and he gave me a son at that exact time. So just knowing that if we rest in the Father's patience, good things will come. He gives us those desires, and he will fulfill those desires as long as we just rest in him, abide in him. So As I said, this patience of God comes only from abiding in Christ, letting Him indwell us. And so no matter the cost, no matter the suffering, the long suffering, no matter what life throws at us, if we're in a season of just hardship, or if we're in a season of enjoying life, no matter what the circumstance we're in, no matter what situation we're in life, we can rest in knowing that God has our plan, that God's will is sovereign, that we just rest in that. And patience isn't a place of passiveness. Patience is actually very active, but it has to be active in the right ways, and we'll touch on that here in a minute. And so the first verse that we're going to read through is in Romans 8, 24 through 27. And it says, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we will wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." So God's patience just helps us in our weakness. When we're feeling weak and when we feel like we can't go on, when we feel like we can't wait for that next season of life because this one's too hard, it's God's patience that shows us that we have everything we need in Him and that we have that hope of something greater. If we fix our eyes on eternity, on Christ, then we know that there's something on the horizon that's a lot better than what we're dealing with today. And we hope in that, and we rest in that, and we have patience in that. Second verse is Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. It says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them from afar and welcomed them, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call their God, for He has prepared a city for them." And this is talking about people such as Moses and Abraham, people who never got to see the fruit of all their life work. And so they just saw it from afar, and they knew that they were just an instrument in God's plan. And that's what we sometimes have to realize in our lives is the end goal of our lives is not to attain all the success and set all these goals that we have to reach by the time we're 60 or 75 or by the time we die. It's not about that. It's about being an instrument of righteousness for Christ, that we're just a part of His plan, and know that that plan is far greater than any we've set for ourselves. And so we hope in that, and we long for that. Philippians 4:6 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." And this verse just speaks to anxiety and wanting something so bad that we just long for it day after day. And most of the time, what God's shown me is it's my rashness, in my anxiety and in my rashness, losing my self-control, trying to go for something. That's where the pain stems from. In my own striving, in my own trying to go and get it, not being patient with God, that's where a lot of the pain that I've borne in life comes from. It stems from my own strivings. I think of the Israelites wandering in the desert, and I think of the long history the Israelites had of disobeying God and having a long time in just desolation and slavery. And then they would repent. God would raise up a leader who loved Him and who feared Him. The peace would be restored to the Israelites. But then years would go by and they would fall back into the same rotation, the same cycle of disobeying God again. Then they repent, and God raises up another leader. And the whole time I think of just God's faithfulness. God didn't give up on the Israelites. They gave up on themselves out of their own strivings, out of their own anxiousness, out of their own wanting to be in a different place at a different time. God was still patient. And God is still patient with us, and we have a lot to learn from that. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A person's wisdom yields patience." 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And so this patience is meant to drive us to repentance, meant to drive us to salvation. And I think of God's patience in my life, and it was that patience that drew me to know him. And it was that patience that drew me to allow him into my life. And I think of my own life, and how does my patience, what does my patience say to the people around me? Does it draw them to want to know me more deeply and to know what it is about me that I'm so patient? Or is it my rashness and my loss of self-control that makes people say, he's not very patient, he's not very godly? And so I think of this own patience as, does this patience that I have draw people nearer, or does it drive people away? The same as Christ, the same as God. 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16 says, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus may display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." So it's patience that drove people. God's patience drove people to finally come to know him. And it was that same testimony that drew more people to know him. If this God is a God of patience, of love, who would accept me even after I've martyred, and even after I've spoke bad against him, and even as I've cursed him, if it's this God who is still patient, why would I not want to know him? Why would I not want to live for him and serve him? And so is this at work? And I reflect every day, is this at work in my own life? Do I have this type of patience that even as people talk bad about me, persecute me, curse me, whatever, do I still have the same patience as the Father to still want to know them, to love them, and to get them out of this season that they may be in? 2 Peter 3:15 says that patience equals salvation. That the more patience we have, the patience that God has, that draws us near to him, that draws us to the salvation that he's offered through his grace and his Son. This last section I want us to really look at and examine, found in Matthew, of just a great example of patience and just the consequences of our impatience. It says, "Therefore there was a kingdom of heaven who is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He began to settle with a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. He was not able to pay his master, so he fell down and said, 'Be patient with me, I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But the servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. He said, 'Pay back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell to his knees, begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. But when the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that happened. The master called the servant in and said, 'You wicked servant, I canceled all the debts of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant?' In anger, his master handed over to the jailers to be tortured." And I think about this in my own life, that God has forgiven me of all the debts that I have. I think about God's graciousness and his love in my own life. And yet, that patience sometimes is not evident in my life with other people. That when I'm supposed to be patient with others and just love them anyway, forgive their debts against me, that often I'm like the servant who went away and began to choke the other, wanting payback, when I could never pay back my master for all he's given me, for all that he's done, for his goodness, for his patience. I can never pay that back. And yet, I don't play that out in my own life. I began to be the servant who went out and began to want back. James 5:7 says, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And this is where God just taught me that patience is not standing by idly. It's not twiddling our thumbs, wishing that something greater would happen. It's not just not getting angry. But it's a very active sense of patience, and the Father's patience, because the farmer, though he waits on the rains to yield his crop, he had to actually sow the seed. And he actually has to fertilize the plants. He actually has to till the land. He has to cultivate. He has to do all these things while he waits for the rain to yield his crop. And so patience in our own lives is not standing by while we wait for God to do something. It's cultivating our own spiritual life. It's praying with him daily. It's reading his word. It's meditating. It's doing all these things so that we can learn the patience of the Father. It's these things that will actually sustain us in the time of wait or in the time of suffering. And if we're not tapped into that, then chances are we aren't very patient in our day-to-day lives. And so it's not something that we just stand by. It's something that we actually have to do, but not in a sense of striving and yearning to just do more and be more for yourself. But it's actually putting that attention into our relationship with the Father. It's abiding in him. And I'll close with this as Derek comes up. I think of patience as Christ's own life when he walked the earth. I can't help but to think of patience in the term of Christ's ministry. He waited 30 years to finally start his ministry. And that all that time, the Father was just teaching him, growing him. And he was living life day to day, just like we were. And I think of that 30 years and then to only operate 2 to 3 years in ministry and then to go to the cross to bear our sins. I think of what that looks like. And I think of, man, 30 years waiting on something to happen. I mean, I haven't even been living 30 years. But just to think of the Father, just to think of Christ's patience and knowing that there's been nothing that I've waited 20 years for, nothing I've waited 10 years for, 5 years for. And that so often I become anxious and frustrated, and I look at Christ's life, and I look at his patience with his disciples and how they were just ordinary men, and sometimes they were ignorant, and sometimes they weren't very accepting. But Christ pressed through. He pressed in, and he gave them the love and patience that they needed in that time. And even in the sense of Christ didn't have many followers when he died. He didn't have a whole lot of people that were on his side. But he never gave up. He pushed through and knew that the Father's will was greater than his own. He knew that the Father's will was what he was here to do. And he knew that if he opted out, that things would be, that wasn't an option. That he had to press in and press through. And I think of God's patience in my own life. And a cool story that I'll share with you about God's patience over the past 3 years is in 2011, God really put it on my heart to disciple pastors and teachers overseas in the less fortunate areas of Africa. And I was living in Georgia, and actually met Shay in India. And when I got back home, I had no plans of moving here, didn't even know much about Oklahoma. But about 6 months went by, and I moved out here to Oklahoma and knew that God had given me those desires for a reason and that someday they would be fulfilled. But all I knew 3 years ago was that, A, I wanted to get married, and B, I wanted to be overseas discipling pastors and teachers. And so God brought me to Oklahoma, and just kind of, those desires were still just burning in my heart. They still are. But I knew that in order for me to be who God wanted me to be and to be fully equipped, I had to rest in His patience and His goodness, knowing that His timing is not my timing. And so we came here to Skyline about 2.5 years ago, and we're sitting over here, and God just spoke over us that God's going to do something great in this church and in our lives here and with the people here, through the people here. And we didn't really know what that meant at the time. But about 1.5 years went by, and Jonathan, head pastor here, asked for me if I would just want to be discipled by him. And it was a really cool moment because I realized that in my life, I've had mentors that come in and out of my life. I've had people that spoke into my life. But I never really had someone who just discipled me. And that these desires that God had given me to disciple others, I thought that I was equipped. But as I was patient and as I came and as I was obedient, God just poured out into my life all the things that I would need to one day reach that. And that it's so cool just to see a pastor come into my life, disciple me, because I had never really been discipled. And that how this is equipping me for what's yet to come, those desires that he's put in my heart that are kind of latent right now, but they're still there. And God is daily equipping me for that time. And so what I ask that you take away from this today is just examine in your own life what it is that maybe you've been striving for, what it is that maybe you've wanted to come, whatever season you're in, if you're in a season of just hardship and just being beaten down, or if you're in a season of just joy and happiness, I just pray that you look at the Father's patience with us and just examine that in your own life, put that to work, and know that whatever it is, whatever comes next, rest in God's goodness, in His grace, and in His love, knowing that whatever is next is good.